This is the Countdown to Mickey podcast, where we take a new look and deep dive into the things we love at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Hi, this is Michelle.
And this is Steve.
And this is the Countdown to Mickey podcast. Because of the pandemic, we've decided to postpone our next Disney trip for a year. We are typically annual pass holders and go quite a few times a year, so this was a huge change for us.
To help us get over our Disney depression, we decided to do a countdown of our favorite rides and really dive deep into our favorite attractions. There are so many little details that Imagineering puts in the rides that can be easily skipped over. I've always wondered about the history and the Imagineering behind each ride, and this is our chance to really get into it. I'm an engineer and love breaking down how the rides are made, the way they're made, and what inspirational technology was used to help create it. Some of you may be thinking, I don't want to hear about the technical side of the rides. That might take away some of the magic. To that, I want to give you a quote from one of my favorite physicists, Richard P. Feynman. He says, I have a friend who's an artist and has sometimes taken a view which I don't agree with very well. He'll hold up a flower and say, look how beautiful it is, and I'll agree. Then he says, I, as an artist, can see how beautiful this is, but you, as a scientist, take this all apart, and it becomes a dull thing. And I think that he's kind of nutty. First of all, the beauty that he sees is available to other people, and to me too, I believe. Although I may not be quite as refined aesthetically as he is, I can appreciate the beauty of a flower. At the same time, I see much more about the flower than he sees. I could imagine the cells in there, the complicated actions inside, which also have beauty. I mean, it's not just beauty at this dimension, at 1 centimeter. There's also beauty at smaller dimensions, the inner structure, also the processes. The fact that the colors in the flower evolved in order to attract insects to pollinate it is interesting. It means that insects can see the color. It adds a question, does this aesthetic sense also exist in lower forms? Why is it aesthetic? All kinds of interesting questions, which the science knowledge only adds to the excitement, the mystery, and the awe of a flower. It only adds, I don't understand how it subtracts. And so that's what I hope to give you, a little addition to all of the rides that add a little more beauty, a little more wonder, and a little more magic.
So let's start with our first ride and number 50 on our list, Storybook Land Canal in Disneyland. Disney describes this as a cruise through the mouth of Monster the Whale into a magical land of Disney movie locales, all in miniature. It's a 12-person boat and you're joined by a cast member who tells the tales of each town as you go through. It's an extremely detailed model using a scale of 1 inch to 1 foot. So, after you go through Monstro the Whale's mouth, you're transported into the miniature lands. First up is the big bad wolf on the left. Across on the island are the homes of the three little pigs. One house of straw, one house of stick, and one house of wolf-proof brick. Then you can go see Alice, where one afternoon she chases the white rabbit and fell down, down, down into Wonderland. London Park is on the right, where Peter Pan first flew off with the Darling children. Up ahead is the city of Agrabah, where Aladdin fell in love with Jasmine. Then you flow under the twinkling arches, the same ones Aladdin and Jasmine flew over, sideways, and under on a magic carpet ride. Just ahead is the Cave of Wonders and Treasures of the World and the Magical Lamp. On the right is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs Cottage, and they are busy whistling at work. Up on the left is Tremaine's Chateau, where Cinderella once lived, and the Cinderella Castle is up on the hill. You can still see the pumpkin on the bridge above the city. On the left, there's a giant patchwork quilt, decorated with more than 50 different desert plants. It is based off the 1933 Silly Symphony cartoon called Lullaby Land. Mr. Toad is then off on a wild ride, but you can see Mr. Toad's hall from the story The Wind in the Willows. Just beyond this is the Kingdom of Arendelle, and on the mountain is the Ice Castle, where Elsa let it go. And don't forget the big summer blowout at Wandering Oaken's Trading Post. Up ahead is Geppetto's village, in the toy shop where he carved his own boy Pinocchio out of wood. And the final stop is Ariel Palace with Prince Eric, and Triton's underwater village is tucked behind the waterfall. So, to start off, I was watching quite a few videos, and do you remember in the beginning of the ride, they say that Pinocchio lit a fire in Monstro's mouth and the whale sneezed so hard he blew his tail off?
Interesting. I don't remember that.
So that's how it starts.
Do you remember that always happening in the ride?
No,
or just in the videos?
I don't remember them actually saying that, because I feel like I would remember such a dramatic start. But in all the videos I watch, they all say the same thing.
So this is brings me to something funny that I found. I never knew that these type of rides are called spiel rides. And I guess things like the Storybook Canal, the Jungle Book Cruise, where we have like a cast member that's sitting up front kind of telling a spiel, but actually stands for something. So spiel actually stands for show awareness, presentation, interaction, enthusiasm, and language. And so you're usually used to having the Jungle Cruise ride have some ad lib where the cast members kind of make up some jokes. Interestingly, I can't remember some ad lib happening in the Storybook Canal. I always remember it being kind of a mellow ride,
right, yeah,
where they're just kind of pointing their finger and kind of letting the ride do a lot of talking. So that's interesting that they had that on the video, because I don't remember that.
You don't
happening.
Remember that either. Yeah. So going into the history of the inspiration, the ride really hasn't changed much over the years after its second release. So it was an original attraction when the park opened July 17, 1955, but it was called the Canal Boats of the World. It was inspired by Madurodam, which is a miniature city in the Netherlands that Disney once visited. When it opened, it wasn't completed and earned its nickname, the Mud Bank Ride, because it just rode by clumps of dirt that they had to dig out to make the canal. And there were just a few buildings and flags. It closed after only 2 months, though. They did a complete renovation and turned it into the Storyland Canal. They tried to merge the two rides, though, and they tried to tie the different stories into different countries, like Cinderella in France and Snow White in Germany. And they also kind of fused it with another ride idea they have of Monstro the Whale. So their original idea for Monstro the Whale ride was you were going to be plunged out of Monstro's mouth into a lagoon. I don't know. Sometimes that seems like a little bit more fun to me, but...
Well, it's funny, like that, I think back to like the original Disneyland pictures that we see and how you think of Disney and you immediately think like every last detail's thought of. And to think that he had a ride with mounds of dirt to open up the park, and that's like kind of really surprising. It goes against a lot of the Imagineering that we think about today and how rides typically open with that shine that we're used to. But I can just imagine kind of being on that boat ride with the mounds of dirt. Because, I mean, it's crazy because they have 465,000 gallons of water. Do you know how much water that is?
I don't know, but it's a lot.
How many solo cups do you think that much water could fill?
Oh my gosh, that's a physics question.
Okay, you could do solo cups or baths. How many think, which one, like one of those, just to put it into comparison for people?
So...
go ahead and make a guess.
Okay, like 50,000 bathtubs?
That's a little high.
Oh,
so 465,000 gallons of water, and to put this into context, the water flows. It is in the Storybook Canal. It does flow up to the canal around the castle as well. I guess it's called the moat around the castle,
mm-hmm.
and it also is piped over to the river, the Jungle Book Cruise. So the same water is kind of flowing throughout the park, but in the canal itself, that 465,000 gallons of water, that would fill 5 million solo cups. So that's a lot of solo cups, or about 15,000 baths.
Oh, okay.
So not quite 50,000, unless you're in a very small, maybe a miniature bath, kind of like these houses that we're looking at.
Right. Well, at first, I mean, of course, it wasn't ready, but then they went through painstaking detail to make it as awesome as it is today. So the doors are all 6 inches tall, and they actually open so they can change all the light bulbs in all of the houses. The trees are all real, and the miniature variety, they grow about half an inch a year. And some other interesting things, the boats were all named for all female characters, except for Flora, which is the skunk from Bambi, which has since been retired. The names of the boats are Alice, Anna, Ariel, Aurora, Belle, Cinderella, Elsa, Merida, Moana, Mulan, Rapunzel, Snow White, Tinkerbell, and Wendy.
So hold on, before we keep going, I want to go back to what you said about the scale. You said it's a 1 foot to 1 inch scale or a 1 to 12 scale.
Yeah, 1 to 12 scale.
So do you know why they chose a 1 to 12 scale?
No.
So these are the nerdy things that I love to think about when I'm riding the rides. So 1 to 12 scale, that just makes it super easy for the designers because every inch is going to equal a foot in real life. And so it makes the design a little bit easier. But do you know where that number 12 comes from? Why we
I obviously
still use
do
that.
Not.
So this is, I love talking about this with the boys. The number 12 dates back a long, long time ago, back to Babylonian times. Have you ever counted the number of knuckles on one hand before, not including your thumb? So if you look at your hand, each finger has three kind of joints, three knuckles on it. And so if you look at your four fingers, each finger has three joints.
Yeah.
4 times 3 is equal to 12. And so some of the original counting system used each one of those knuckles on your fingers to count to 12. And then they use their opposite hand to count 12 by 12 by 12 by 12. So 12 times 5 fingers on your other hand, including your thumb on your other hand, made 60. And so 60 is this magical number that appears everywhere. How many minutes are in an hour? How many seconds are in a minute?
60.
And so all these little tidbits, I think, are fascinating. And I think it just adds to the lore. I know the metric system may not seem super interesting. Or sorry, the English system may not seem super interesting. But just to think about, like, the fact that we are one of three countries in the world to still use the English system of measurement, that's kind of one of the reasons why Disney's able to make these scale models that look so realistic. And so it just, like, one of those little details that make me think about, like, well, what if we were in the metric system? Like, would we have 1 to 10 scale models? Would it look as cool if with 1 to 12 scale models? I have no idea. But, yeah, those are the little things that I think about when I nerd out on rides like these.
That was pretty nerdy. So do you remember going on Storybook Land Canal as a kid?
I do. So I was lucky enough to go to Disneyland multiple times every summer. My grandparents took me to Disneyland, me and my brother and my sister, a lot growing up. And so we would always obviously want to ride Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain, all the roller coaster type of rides, I guess you'd call them. My grandparents would not want to ride those rides. And so my grandpa always loved to follow along. And this is one of the few rides where my grandma and my grandpa would both ride along and kind of take that journey through Storybook Canal. And so I do remember it. I remember times when it'd be super hot in the Anaheim sun, riding that ride and be like, oh, we just need to go to Small World or something cooler. But I think like that goes back to some of my favorite times riding this ride, which would be in the afternoon. Like I love that kind of sun's going down. It's a little bit cooler, but you could still see all the little details of the ride. And so, yeah, I remember riding it a lot and we probably didn't ride every single time we went to Disney, but we'd make it a trip over there. So my grandparents would have something to ride with us.
Oh, that's great. So I didn't grow up going to Disneyland. We went once or twice, but my real memories are when I started bringing my son to Disneyland. We went on his first trip to the Storybook Land canals. I just remember him loving being on the boats and seeing all the villages, and just seeing everything through his eyes really made it an emotional connection for me. Is there anything else about the mechanics or engineering of the ride that you found out when you were doing your research?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that you mentioned all of the boats are named after the female characters in Disney stories. And obviously, Disney princesses are prominent figures in Disney lore. but there was a huge sexism problem on the ride when it was originally made. So the staff member, the cast members that originally ran Storybook Canal, they were only hiring males for the position. And so there would only be male cast members for the first 10 years or so of the ride. And people were kind of put off by it, I think. But the reason was because the boats actually didn't have a reverse gear in it. So the boats could only go forward. And so they actually had to have men who were able to physically pull the boats backwards to be able to dock the boats. And so, right. So they couldn't have women working Storybook Canal originally. And so eventually they put a gear shift on the boat so that they could go backwards. And so women started to work Storybook Canal. And I think the decade right after that, I think it was only women cast members that worked Storybook Canal to kind of make up for that, I guess, original sexism that was on the ride. And so I thought that was interesting that they didn't have a reversed on the boats at first. They were just only going forward. And I guess they thought that it would just go round and round in a circle. And so it's just always cool to hear about those upgrades and those minor tweaks that Disney's always making to correct for those type of experience, or I guess negative parts of the experience that the riders may have.
Mm-hmm. What would you do to upgrade it if you could?
Interesting question. I think I love the sounds. I think the sounds really make the experience in terms of going by the ice castle and hearing Elsa singing or hearing the seven dwarves kind of humming along. I think are the seven dwarves in there. And so I think the sound really makes it. But I think if I were to upgrade it, that's a really good question, because I think what makes it special is that it's all physically there. It's kind of one of those old school rides. I imagine making a diorama with my kids or when I was a kid, and how hard it is to make something that detailed and look that good. So I almost like that mystique of it, where it is kind of simple and it just shows kind of the level of detail that Disney storytelling can get into. But I think it would be cool to see changing scenes. So maybe certain castles rotate in and out. Like you can have some movement on certain parts of the display, but just to mix it up a little bit so that every single ride might be a little bit different. And so that's probably something that I might change, add some of the newer stories and just add it, so and make it so that it changes a little bit as you go through the ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm still into the falling out of Monstro's mouth into the lagoon thing.
But well, what would you change? What else other than a drop out of Monstro's mouth, what else would you change for that?
Well,
ride?
I'm all about holiday overlays and decorating, so I would love to see a Halloween theme and Nightmare Before Christmas, some spider webs, and just some, just some different holiday decor.
Right. Yeah, that would be cool. I think they have all of those figurines and those setups, for Jack Skellington climbing on the hill. That would be pretty sweet.
Right.
Setting that up. I mean, they've got to have some old models that they might be able to use. Obviously, it might not be 1:12 scale model, but yeah, that would be very cool to have those holiday overlays.
So is this a must-do for you on every trip? And will you do it on your next trip to Disneyland?
That's a really good question. I wouldn't call it a must-do. I think with our youngest being 2 years old and maybe being about 3 years old when we go out there, I think actually he'll probably be a little older than 3 years old, but I think it'd be cool for him to ride it. I think he'd be a good age. I think 3 year olds are a good age to see it and have fun and enjoy it. But I don't think it's necessarily a must do. I think we get so busy on our trips to the park. I mean, this ride is number 50 for a reason. I don't think it's it's on the must do list. But I think it's always good to relax. And I think especially in that, like I said, in that late afternoon time frame where we're getting tired, we need to get off our feet a little bit and not be so hot, maybe get some time in the shade. I think that's the time where I would ride it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if we've ever been on it at nighttime, so I really want to go back and see all the lights and see it at nighttime. I know it closes early because of fireworks, but that is definitely on my to-do list.
Yeah, we typically haven't stayed super late at the parks a lot, I think, lately. I think we tend to get to the parks early and ride all the rides that we want to and go relax at the hotel. And so we don't do a lot at nighttime. And so, yeah, no, that would be cool to go see all of the night lights as we go back.
So I have a list of 7 things to look for when you go on it the next time. The top seven things you can't miss on Storybook Land attraction. Number one, the oldest living tree is at Disneyland is a stone pie bonsai tree that is about 3 foot tall near Pinocchio's house, and Walt Disney planted that one himself.
What are your reference on that? How true do you think that? Do you think Disney really planted that himself?
I got that from multiple sources. I'll include them in our show notes. But okay. Multiple sources said Walt Disney planted that himself.
Okay. All right.
Cinderella's, number two, Cinderella's castle turrets are covered in 24 karat gold.
24 karat gold. So there is just gold.
I mean, it's not fully gold. It's like covered. It's like a dusting of 24 karat gold.
So I'm curious, what is the weathering?
Gold's pretty good.
What is the weathering?
It's probably why they picked it.
Capabilities of gold. So you're telling me that gold doesn't flake off into the river and they lose 24 karat gold all the time when they're refurbishing that thing?
Definitely.
Well, how do you glue? What is the best adhesive to keep 24 karat gold on the roof of the castle?
Okay, you're getting into more questions than I know. But I did read that. Again, okay. Multiple sources. Number three, Cinderella's clock strikes midnight when you go past. I never noticed that before.
All the time, 12.
Yeah, when you go past, in every video I watch, you could hear it chiming 12 as you go past Cinderella's castle.
So that's kind of a bummer because that's when she turns back into...
Well, that's why there's a pumpkin there.
Oh, so got you it? Drive by. Oh, okay.
You go drive by at the strike of midnight.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Number four, when you go by Snow White, you can hear the dwarfs working in the mine.
Oh, cool.
Number five, the church windows in Alice in Wonderland are actual stained glass that Walt Disney insisted on and are still there today. In fact, when they're trying to replace it with regular glass, he said, Walt Disney was quoted in saying, look, the thing that's going to make Disneyland unique and different is the detail. If we lose the detail, we lost it all.
Yeah, I think that sums up the ride for me right there. I think... the detail is everything, and I think that's what you can appreciate about this ride and any other ride at Disney, but I think this ride with the slowness and the focus on the detail, I think that's what makes it so special.
Yeah. Number six, there's a hidden Mickey on Snow White and the Wendy boat in the painted grapes. And number seven, there's a hidden Mickey made of jewels in the Cave of Wonders. Anything else you want to talk about with the Storybook Land Canal?
Well, I think with the Storybook Canal, it's one of those rides where it's not going to be on everyone's top list. I think I read somewhere it's actually one of the lowest rated rides in all of Disneyland.
Oh.
And I think it is because it's older, it's more simple, but I think it is worth the trip and it's worth going on it, especially with a short line. That line doesn't get too long, especially when there's like a huge parade. Sometimes you can sneak onto the ride. People don't even realize there's a ride there when everyone's looking at the parade going by. And so I don't know, are there any other like pieces of advice in your experience of Disneyland, your planning, the day out in terms of when to hit the ride, when there's the least amount of wait for the ride? Is there any other thing that you would want to talk about for the ride?
No, that's not ever something I would do first in the morning, but you could probably fit it in somewhere mid-morning and have limited wait time, but before it gets too hot in the middle of the day.
You think when people start to go back in a year or so, or whenever people start going back to Disneyland, do you think that their focus is going to be in Fantasyland at all?
Absolutely not.
and so I think
everyone's going to Spider-Man.
Star Wars Land and Spider-Man, right. Marvel, the new Marvel Land. Yeah, so I think knowing that and knowing which direction to go in when it does get crowded, I think this is one of those good escapes from the crowds. And I think that's one of the cool part, the fact that the canal is kind of like secluded. You go into the whale's mouth and you do feel like you're in a different world because you can't see over the hills, the embankments that surround the ride. And so it does feel like you're kind of in a different world. You don't even see Dumbo. You can't see Small World. You can't see Toontown. You can't see anything that's surrounding it. I don't even know if you can see the Matterhorn. You might be able to peek it a little bit over the mounds, but I think it's really cool that it is kind of dug down deep enough where you do feel like you're in this other world and you're kind of a giant amongst the different buildings.
Right. Do you know any of the other original rides that are still in working order today, other than Storybook Land?
I don't. Maybe I'm going to make some guesses. I think the carousel might be one of my guesses.
Good work.
I think another one might be the train.
Yep.
And
I didn't see that on my
other original rides. I might say Autopia. I think Autopia.
Yeah. One of them. Are you cheating?
No, this is all of my off the top of my head. Any other original rides? I think that might be it. I don't think they opened up anything else. Those are the only three.
That's false. Okay, so also we're going to add in Mad Tea Party. They moved it, but the teacups were there.
Right, right.
Casey Jr., the train that goes around Storybook Land.
Oh, yeah.
Which I hate, by the way. Jungle Cruise. Peter Pan.
They had that many rides during opening? I thought there was
Yeah, Fantasyland was like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Snow White, the dark Snow White ride.
I don't think I've ever ridden that ride.
Well, you can't ride it now. It's closed down. They're refurbishing it. And the riverboat.
The riverboat. Didn't you say the Jungle Cruise?
Yeah, no, the riverboat, the big boat.
Oh, they had that giant boat in the original?
I think so.
I go, let's check your sources.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've never done the riverboat.
I've done it before.
You have? So those were the original. Now they're redoing Snow White, so that might make our list instead of Storybook Land Canal. But right now, I'm going to go with this ride. Is there any rides that are honorable mentions for you that didn't make our list, but you want to point out?
I mean, top 50, you can definitely go to any Disney trip and hit these top 50 rides that we're going to be talking about over the course of the next year or so. But I think if I had to point out a ride that didn't make our list, I've always been impartial for, are we calling the Tiki Room a ride?
No.
No, it's not a ride?
No.
Okay, that's more of an experience. So we're talking about rides.
Why don't I give one of mine?
Okay, you go first.
So my honorable mentions are the Emotional Whirlwind from Inside Out. And you board one of 8 memory movers, which evoke one of Riley's emotions. You ascend and fly around a circle surrounded by vibrant, glowing collections of memories.
Have we ridden that ride?
Yeah. It's in California Adventure, it's close to the pier. It's underneath Incredicoaster. And it's so great. They have like a different like song for each emotion, different theme music. And it's just so, the colors are just so vibrant. I just think it's fun. And then also the Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters, where you sit in little Luigi cars and they do a choreographed dance like the Mambo. I think it's super cute. Not very exciting, but very cute. And probably a better ride than the Luigi bumper cars that used to be there.
I've got a ride that I was thinking about. And I'm going to put this on honorable mention, not because I like it necessarily, but because I think it has so much potential. I think that the ride at Epcot, Figment.
What?
I think it has so much potential. They could have done so much cooler, like a ride about imagination and about like the stories that are told. Like through science, like they could have done so much cooler stuff on that ride. And so I'm going to put on my honorable mention just because I think they can make some small tweaks and make that ride a legit cool ride.
All right. I've been on that ride, but the only thing I remember is the bad smells. That's the only takeaway right. I have
like
of
they,
that ride.
Like they could add so much neuroscience. Like they could do so much cool stuff and talk about like how we're influenced by story, how we can like really craft, like how we can use imagination to do amazing things. Like they could have done that so much cooler. So thank you for joining us. We hope that you continue with us along this journey. We know a lot of you may be missing Disney. We know that you may be like us and just wanting to revisit some of your favorite memories. And so we hope you come back and listen to our next episode where we will be looking at our 49th favorite ride. So until then.
Wait, I have one trivia question for you. So trivia, I'll tell you next week what the answer is, but it is, what are the names of the three little pigs on the storybook Land Canal? So until next time, we're counting down to Mickey, as you wish.
Until next time, as you wish. Thanks for listening to our first episode. Please check us out at countdowntomickey.com, and you can follow us on socials. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all under Countdown to Mickey. So thanks so much, and hopefully join us next time.